Chapter 11. Catalyst. Sestian was surprised when an aide came to his office with Carnegie's request for a meeting. Although he met with Carnegie at least once a month to offer the big man an opportunity to unburden himself or ask advice, it had always been a one-way meeting, with the abbot asking and Carnegie taciturn. He had never sought a meeting. Until today. The firmness of the knock on the abbot's door announced a large fist.
"Come on in, Carnegie," said Sestian.
The abbot moved a pile of papers from one chair to the other, of the two facing his desk. The now empty chair was the sturdiest and less likely to collapse under the weight of Carnegie Poovy. To the abbot's surprise, Carnegie said,
"Thank you for seeing me so soon, abbot."
Carnegie seldom initiated any conversation.
"Of course, Carnegie. I always have time for you. What's on your mind?"
"I would like your permission to move to St. Thomas Abbey in Kernford."
Mara had primed Sestian for the possibility, and he was prepared for the proposal.
"Is it because Yosef is moving there?"
Carnegie kept eye contact with the abbot and spoke slowly, carefully choosing his words, not as if to weigh the words for the listener's reaction, but to convey the meaning accurately.
"Yes, I suppose so. I feel I'd be more useful being near him than staying here. At St. Sidran's I serve a purpose, but let's be honest, abbot. It's a role almost anyone could fill. Not that I think I'm above cleaning, voiding vats, or weeding gardens. But is that how I can best serve, being who I am?"
Sestian could not have been more surprised if Carnegie had declared he proposed to fly to Llandilin. Surprised not by the proposal, but by the depth of thought behind it.
"And who do you think you are, Carnegie?" asked the abbot.
Carnegie remained silent. Sestian sensed he was gathering thoughts, not avoiding an answer. Normally patient, the abbot was doubly so with the man sitting in his office, the man who had opened up as never before. The gathering of thoughts going on in the redhead facing him deserved whatever time was needed. A minute passed.
2. 4.
Then,
"When I came to St. Sidran's, I felt I didn't deserve to be among other people. That if people knew the things I'd done, they would shun me. To be safe, I guess is the right word, I assumed they didn't want to interact with me, so I acted to keep them away. It became a habit. The more I pushed people away, the more they stayed away, and the more I grew convinced they wanted to stay away."
Carnegie stopped speaking, as if not quite knowing what to say next. Sestian prompted him this time.
"Well, now?"
"While I don't want to push people away, I'm afraid it's become a hard habit to break."
"And you worry you can't change if you stay at St. Sidran's?"
"No. Only that it will be harder," Carnegie said. "There's more, abbot. I'm useful around Yosef. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but I believe he's most relaxed when he's around me, even with Mera. Though don't tell her I said so. Obviously, they're husband and wife, though I think he's very cautious about what he says around her."
Surprised by Carnegie's statement, Sestian asked,
"Why would you think that, Carnegie?"
Poovy shrugged. "How would I know? Perhaps it just is. Maybe I don't ask him too many questions. He needs others looking after him. Yes, he's taken fighting lessons from Y4 Kales. And Kales says he would be quite a dangerous person, except for lack of experience, though he still needs, maybe not looking after, but protection is the better word. He's important to all of us. I'm already around often when he might need protection, as are Kales and Bowers more and more, but when he moves, he'll still need me. It's a gut feeling I can't shake. Carnegie stared at the abbot as if the door to his vocalizations had shut. He had stated his position and now awaited an answer. Sistian considered the man's words for less than a minute, long enough to confirm the conclusion he'd come to in the last few months.
Carnegie, I see no problem with agreeing to the move. Your period of probation ends in 6 months, and I had already decided I would see no reason to extend it. I will write to Abbot Walcott in St. Thomas. I'm sure he'll have no objection, especially after I explain the situation. He'll have to approve transferring the probation oversight to St. Thomas, although it will then ultimately be Abbot Walcott's decision to end probation. He'll have my strongest recommendation.
Deira walked into the abbot's office when she saw Carnegie leaving.
Sistian, why was Carnegie here? Unless I lost track, he wasn't due for his monthly counseling session for another 6 days.
Sistian set down the quill he'd just picked up to write to Abbot Walcott.
He wanted to talk.
Carnegie? He wanted to talk?
Surprised me too, said Sistian. Not only that he wanted to talk, but how he talked. He wants to move to Carnford when Joseph and Mera do. He thinks he will be useful there as both a guard and a friend to Joseph. Although he didn't quite frame it this way, I think he also believes it's better for him. He sees himself opening up more to people and badly wants to continue. He senses it's easier when he's around those he knows best.
And that's Joseph, stated Deira,
beyond a doubt. I remember when Joseph first came, and you saw him and Carnegie drinking beer together, talking and laughing like old friends, even though they couldn't understand a word the other was saying. You speculated they might be good for each other. And you were right. Two lost souls somehow finding in each other a kindred spirit. I told Carnegie I would write Abbot Walcott to ask to transfer the probation to St. Thomas, and I will give my recommendation that the probation be ended in the minimum time in 6 months. I've sensed the changes in Carnegie, and my meeting with him confirmed it. He's a different person, and I believe he'll have a contented future. Whether it's a happy one, only God can know. But at least there's a chance.
Joseph is a factor, though I'm sure he didn't know what he was doing, said Deira.
The abbot rose and walked to the garden's window.
It's hard to ignore that Joseph has that effect on many people. Though, as with Carnegie, I doubt any of it is intentional.
Like a catalyst, said Deira.
Sistian turned to question the strange word. Deira shrugged.
Yes, another of Joseph's words from his homeland. As he often does, it came out spontaneously when he spoke out loud. He explained to me as a substance that facilitates other substances to change without changing itself. I know, I didn't understand it either. There were more words related to his chemistry, but he lost me quickly. Once I got him back from wherever he goes when his mind's wandering, we settled on an example such as a person who affects others just by being present. For example, Brother Petros. Often it seems like people are more pleasant to one another whenever Petros is around. The same with Raedri Breeson. Although I've only met Brother Raedri once, from my impression and stories from others, it's evident his mere presence encourages calm and rational thought. Yosef wasn't completely happy with the example, but agreed that Petros and Raedri might be considered catalysts.
The abbot returned to his desk chair, placing his hands on the desktop edge, his arms straight.
So you say we could call Yosef himself a catalyst?
Deira sat in one of the chairs facing the desk, folding her hands in her lap, smiling at her husband.
I think it's a reasonable analogy. Look at what's happened with people he's been in contact with.
Carnigan's a good example, said Sistian. He's become more outgoing. Several brothers and sisters have commented over the last months. He greets them, asks how they're doing, offers help, and has even been seen playing with children several times. Plus, there's his protective attitude toward Yosef, and, unless I misread, also toward Mera. More change is evident from his coming to see me today. Not just that alone, but the reason is based on him looking to the future. I even say looking forward to the future.
Speaking of Mera, said Deira, she's always been a dear child, yet she was so serious. Now she seems more relaxed, and yes, even more cheerful. Some of that is likely because of the coming child and filling roles she takes seriously. However, much has to be due to Yosef and how he treats her as an equal. And there are others. Dennis is becoming more important to the clan as he adopts suggestions from Yosef. There's Wilwin and microorganisms, medicant treatments. I confess a modicum of pride, but St. Sidran's has become arguably the most important center of medicant treatment and training in Cadellium. All due to Yosef.
Sistian stroked his beard and sat back in his chair.
We don't have to look further than our own family. Consider Catwolf. I admit I didn't know what to make of his fascination with numbers and mathematics, I suppose, because I didn't see them as a calling in life. Now look at him, in charge of this bank Yosef established and earning good coin at it. And if that isn't enough, he's become well known throughout Cadellium for the mathematics he's learned from Yosef and has expanded on. Either of those professions would be enough for any one person, and he's succeeding at both.
Anselma,
said Deira affectionately, thinking of their youngest child.
Yes, Selmar, said Sistian. He was always an indifferent student, never showing interest in his studies more than was necessary to keep his teachers and us reasonably satisfied. I tried not to reveal too much frustration, but I felt he was wasting his abilities. That's one reason I chose him as Yosef's language tutor. I don't know whether I had an intuition it might interest Selma or if it was just good luck, but he became fascinated with teaching Yosef to communicate. Deira smiled.
When Yosef introduced the microscope, we could hardly get Selma out of Wilwin's workroom to eat and sleep, she said. I finally had to order him to limit the number of hours a day he spent finding new creatures everywhere he looked, and the order had to come from me as his mother, since he ignored my warnings as a medicant. Now he's expanded his interest in other parts of Wilwin's work, and unless I'm missing the signs, he's getting interested in how bodies work, ours and animals. I'm fairly certain he will end up as a scholastic in biology or even become a medicant, something I would not have thought possible 2 years ago.
Imagine it, Deira, said Sistian. We worried what our two sons would do when they were mature, and now both will be scholastics, and one even a medicant. Who knows the ways of God? I almost wonder if the rumors about Yosef are right, and he's somehow an agent of God, if not actually a Septosh. Both Bainhams remained within their own thoughts. After a long moment, Deera asked,
Sistian, do you regret that none of our children are destined to be theophists?
He sighed.
While I'll admit I hoped at least one would, I think I'm honest enough to know each of us makes his or her own future. I always knew Orla would be happy as a wife and a mother, but I once thought Perma would make a theophist. She disillusioned me of this notion by the time she was 15, and then she married a theophist brother in Glengarth and seemed happy. I can truly say I'm pleased that all four of our children seem to have found their places, or, in Selmar's case, are on that road.
And there we are. Back to Yosef, said Deera. We have to credit him with how our sons are developing.
If Yosef is a catalyst, said Sistian, then has he stayed unchanged by his interactions with others?
Neither Yosef nor I were happy that it was the best analogy, only the closest I could come to understand. As for whether he's changed, I don't know. Although he's certainly adjusted to Keelan. But has his core changed? Since we didn't know him before his arrival, how can we be sure? Still, for myself anyway, I'm comfortable thinking of him as a catalyst, and then wondering what further changes he'll bring and to whom.
Deera took on a serious demeanor.
Another way to look at him is to think of people orbiting around him, like our moon circle Anya. Wherever we look, more and more things relate to Yosef, directly or indirectly, if we look closely enough.
So, we're all moons orbiting Yosef, said Sistian, laughing.
Well, some are big moons, some are small ones, and others are just little rocks. But yes, in a way, we are all orbiting around him.
That includes you, dear, said Sistian. Not only the new treatments you're spreading, but also Yosef's idea for these mashes, as he calls them. You're deeply involved in these mobile medicine teams that can accompany men to fight and treat wounds as soon as possible.
I wish we didn't need the mashes, though they're necessary. We saved lives and helped in the recovery of men wounded at Moreland City, many of whom would have otherwise died, insisted Deera.
Sistian touched the amulet to God he always wore.
And I've thanked God for Yosef bringing the idea. But it still comes from Yosef.
Also, as much as I acknowledge the importance of the mashes, I confess to a shade of resentment that it will take you away from St. Sidran's more than I like.
I feel the same, said Deera. I never dreamed we'd be away from each other as much as we might have to be in the next year. Besides the mashes, there's the university. Changing the location to Kernford is logical. Abbotsford is just too small, and with Yosef moving much of his current and all of his future enterprises to Kernford, having the university nearby is necessary. Although I hadn't mentioned it before, I've always wondered about the rationale for so much development in Abbotsford. Well, besides Yosef being here.
The same thoughts occurred to me, said Sistian. However, it was speculation then, instead of reality now.
I'm sure Saul Dillis can be head medicant at St. Sidran's while I'm away, said Deera. It's my role in the university that worries me more. Within the year, I'll be spending half of my time in Kernford, before Yosef and I identify a replacement head for the biology and medicine department.
Sistian smiled in a way Deera knew from experience indicated he had a surprise, but the accompanying forehead frown lines meant that whatever it was didn't completely sit easily on her husband's mind. I supposed that's my opening to mention something I've thought hard about. A request. No, that's not quite right. A proposal from college. And of course it's something related to Yosef, as seems usual these days. Yosef has talked to college about the need for what he calls a general staff, an established group of people that a leader depends on for advice, and that takes over responsibility for specific duties. Yosef says it's important when too many duties are put on a single leader, and when the duties require experience in different areas than is reasonable to expect a leader to have.
I assume college is considering establishing such a general staff? Asked Dira.
Correct.
But college already has Lewis and Kenrick, plus all the Boyermen, said Dira.
True, although the Boyermen are committed to duties within their districts. Lewis and Kenrick would naturally be included, but college believes the circumstances now and in the future will require more than those two.
Dira divined where her husband was going.
He's asked you to be part of the general staff.
Sistia nodded, tugging his beard as he did when conflicted or irritated.
Yes. He originally broached the idea when I was last in Kernford, and I listed all the reasons why I couldn't be away from St. Sidran's for that much time. In his last letter and today's mail packet, Kulch expounded in great detail how, while he appreciated the importance of my duties at St. Sidran's and the Abbotsford area, there were counter-argument considerations relevant to the Keelan clan and all of Cadelium.
Again the Narthani, said Dira. Two names we can't escape from. Yosef and Narthani. What does College see you doing?
College intends to embark on a more concerted effort to bring all the clans into a united alliance against the Narthani. He says the results from the Moreland City battle make this the time to do so. He believes it's critical to keep such an alliance functioning, despite inter-clan differences, so he wants to recruit Theophist assistants. I'm afraid he'd thought of making this a battle against the Evil One, with the Narthani and their god Narth in that role. I told him I felt uneasy about trying to use God in such a manner. And I believe we've agreed not to be so explicit.
Some see it that way anyhow, said Dira.
True, said Sistian. But we've both read enough accounts of mainland conflicts based on differences in worship, even different gods, to know the viciousness such fighting can devolve into. I would hope we could avoid the worst of that here on Cadelium. However, as much as I hate to admit it, he has arguments on his side. What if the Narthani do take over the entire island? Is there any doubt the worship of God, as we believe is correct, would be lost and replaced with Narth? I'm more comfortable in framing it as a desperate defense of our worship beliefs. And to do this, we need the active support of Theophists throughout the island.
I assume getting Raedri Breeson's support is prominent in Kulish's mind, Dira asked.
Naturally, grunted Sistian. And it hardly passed my notice that Kulish is aware I studied with Raedri, and we've remained friends. The Theophist Order on Cadelium has no formal structure or leadership, but Redri's reputation and the regard all hold for him make him as close to a Theophist leader as we have.
All very rational of Kulch, and very sneaky, said Dira, grinning. Which brings us back to the problem of my spending so much time in Kernford. I'll admit I'd love to have you there, too, but what about here? You're the abbot.
As with your belief, Saul can substitute for you while you're away, I believe Brother Vilner can do the same for me.
Vilner? Said Dira, surprised. Isn't he young for that responsibility? Would the senior Theophists agree?
Yes, he's only 29, though it's no secret I've envisaged him as my successor when the time comes for God to call me home. Most of the other theophists in St. Sidran's agree he'll make an abbot someday. Somewhere else, if not St. Sidran's. The others will see this as a reasonable way for him to get experience in a temporary role, especially if I intend to return as soon as the Narthani threat is over.
So, said Deera, are we talking around the fact that both of us will spend much of the next year in Kernford?
It does appear that way. I want to get back here as often as possible to assure myself the Abbey is functioning and serving the people, and I assume you'll feel the same about the hospital. It won't be a permanent move, and we'll have to arrange a temporary home in Kernford. Cadwulf will stay here in the house, but we'll have to decide about Selmar. Just remember, we'll be back to St. Sidran's as much as possible.
If the worst happens, there would be no St. Sidran's to come back to, said Deera,
the words forced out of her mouth. They both fell silent again, each deep into dark thoughts that neither wanted to express more openly. Finally, Deera made an effort to steer the conversation to more everyday matters.
Let's talk about something more removed from the Narthani. We had 4 births today, more than any one day in over a year. 2 were in the hospital and 2 at the family homes. Brothers Arbor and Bulwin attended the home ones. All mothers and babies are doing fine, though one was in breech position and Brother Arbor was afraid they would have to bring the mother to the hospital for the surgery, Yosef calls. Oh my, there it is again. I can't help Yosef from coming up. With the ether, cutting babies out from breech position is safer. He calls the procedure a caesarean and explains that it is named after a famous person named Caesar who was born that way. Of course, neither I nor anyone else has ever heard of this famous person, but I suppose we should be used to this happening with Yosef.
Sistian laughed.
Oh, dear, it's even worse. In searching for something else to talk about, the first thing on my mind was a counseling session I had with Elwella Norswin. Do you remember her?
Norswin? Questioned Deera. Wasn't Belton Norswin one of the Abersford men killed at Moreland City? He had a smithy shop at the edge of Abersford and was part of Yosef's artillery crews. Yes, I remember his wife Elwella. They had 2 children. Mera arranged a position for Elwella working in Buna Keller's clothing shop and made certain the pension coming from the clan, added with what she earned sewing, would support Elwella and the children.
That seemed to be the plan, said Sistian. Elwella came to me today for advice and approval. She proposes to marry the smithy worker who will take over her deceased husband's shop, a man already married. He had worked for Belton many years, and the 2 families were friends. Elwella wanted to be sure the word allowed 2 wives. I told her the word did not disallow it, but the commentaries emphasized care for children, and an original wife had to be honestly agreeable. Elwella assured me this was the case, something I advised her I needed to confirm with separate meetings with all 3 of them.
Sistian shook his head.
And here we go again with Yosef's name appearing. Elwella argued it must be allowed, since everyone knows Yosef had an affair with Bronwyn Linton, and a child resulted. Bronwyn married into her sister's family and made it clear the idea came from Yosef. Furthermore, Elwella implied that if Yosef Kolsko thought it was appropriate, then it must be.
From Sistian's expression, Deera could see he wasn't pleased with Elwella's assumption.
What did you say?
Asked Deera.
What could I say? Oh, I repeated something about responsibilities and approvals, but my mind was elsewhere.
While it's true the word doesn't disapprove of multiple wives, it's not a common custom. Certainly not in Keelan or most other clans, except for some of the northern ones.
However, this may be changing, and if fighting the Nathani continues, it might be more common in the future.
Widows, said Deera. So many widows from husbands killed in the fighting.
Especially in Moorland, said Sistian. 1,000 men died in Jin for Moorland's insane decision to charge straight into the Nathani line. That's close to 1,000 widows, since most were married men, and several thousand fatherless children.
The theophists throughout Moorland had many meetings trying to come to an agreement and have just issued a proclamation throughout Moorland province approving multiple wives. Other clans are considering the same. And College has asked that one of the first things I work on, if I come to Kernford, is to see if there is a consensus within Keelan on the same issue. I'll study the question, of course, but I don't foresee forbidding the practice. In fact, at least for the current generation, it might be the best way to ensure strong families and sufficient support for the children and widows. I'm afraid there will be many more widows in times to come.
Yosef and the Nathani, said Deera. So intertwined.
Deera, I remember when Yosef first arrived, the day they found him naked on the beach. I wondered then how he would affect our community. Never did I imagine the eventual reality.